Baruch Hashem Adonai. Bless the name of the Lord and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and Bible teacher, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, sweetie. And thanks to all of you for remembering to tune us in after our short radio absence. As usual, much is going on and we can't report on everything, but we'll give a quick overview of the more important news after we covet God's blessing upon this program and on all the listeners. And, of course, let's give all glory to Yahweh.
Abba, Father, King of the universe, we thank you for our many, many blessings and every breath we take. We do trust in you and glorify you alone. We appreciate knowing that it really is your desire to share with us continual added details about your many attributes.
Yes, Lord.
We are honored to be your servants and to share your many truths. We humbly ask for your blessing on tonight's program.
Yes.
And offer up to you our recent prayer request of health issues and financial needs. And the number one request is always for the salvations of our loved ones. May these prayers be a sweet-smelling essence reaching your throne. So hear our petitions, O Lord, as we pray for President Trump to fulfill your prophecies. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Well, we are very happy to be back with you. And again, a lot of newsy stuff to share. And then we'll take you deep into his word, especially appealing to those who have the desire to know a little more about everything.
But first, are you glad that long impeachment stuff will finally be over tomorrow?
Oh, of course. But the far-left Dems, well, they'll just probably never stop. I have to say, and I know you are feeling the same, we always wanted the Bidens to be investigated for corruption, especially when he decided to run for president, because he would have been even more corrupt if elected.
Oh, it's amazing. But there's... Mm-hmm. Not going to be to get the Dems, but he's not going to get the Dems nomination.
Well, I don't think so either, and it really doesn't matter because President Trump will eat their lunch, any one of them. And by the way, in less than an hour, President Trump will give his State of the Union address.
Will he speak about the impeachment?
I think he might just ignore that whole subject.
Yeah, we'll soon see with Trump.
Mm-hmm. But let's move on to some very big news that the mainstream media has barely said anything about.
The unveiling of President Trump's peace initiative.
Yes, which happened right in the middle of his impeachment trial.
And on the same day that Netanyahu was formally indicted on corruption charges.
Hmm. President Trump unveiled that to, I think, to help divert attention away from and to save his very well-liked and actually only true partner in the Middle East, and to further endear himself with the evangelical voters.
But not all evangelicals are pleased.
Mm, true. Because President Trump really is legally giving the Palestinians more land with their own state right in the middle of Israel.
70% of Judea and Samaria,
otherwise known as the West Bank, mostly in East Jerusalem. And then President Trump bragged that America will put up a U.S. embassy in their new Palestinian state as well.
So, two embassies in Israel?
Yes. And with an underground tunnel with rail cars going to the Gaza Strip.
You always said that would be the case.
I did, actually for many years, because the UN proposed it decades ago. A lot of this deal isn't not really that new for Trump, because it's most parts of it have been planned long ago. In fact, I even drew a map 3 years ago of this contiguous area of Palestinian state in my January 2017 newsletter, and actually showed what it would look like.
Still on our webpage. Check it out.
It is. So, yes, some are quite disturbed, but we knew it was coming. So at the same time, I think we can be excited that we are getting closer to the Daniel 9:27 fulfillment.
And therefore, the rapture of the church.
Exactly. But still a lot must happen where the Palestinians, well, they're going to have to agree. But it's very interesting that it was leaked that our CIA director, Gina Haskell, well, she just met with the Abbas senior officials in Ramallah.
Well, you know, that says a lot.
Yeah. And most believe the CIA runs the country anyway. But anyway, the PA leaders already have money being withheld, which they don't like. And unless Iran helps them, which isn't likely since they too are experiencing some tough times from their many sanctions.
And loss of oil revenue.
That's right. But should Abbas finally take the deal, very generous incentives accompany their signature.
So, what is the major issue that the Palestinians would not agree to, in your opinion?
Well, number one, they have to recognize Israel as a state, and they sure don't want to do that. And they have to demilitarize all their major weapons. Oh, they'll be able to protect themselves, but the missiles and the rockets and the helium-filled balloons, which are still flying, well, they would have to stop. And all militia groups would be disarmed.
That's a big one.
That will take a miracle.
Uh-huh, it will. What happens with the Temple Mount?
Well, I understand that Israel still retains sovereignty, but it shall be open to people of all faiths, which really Israel already does. It's just the Muslims that cause the problems.
So now the Palestinians will have to agree.
Yes. Actually, it's going to be called an international piece of real estate. And as I said, right now, even though Israel has sovereignty over it, it has always been overseen by Jordan, so that they could stifle any uproars. But many feel, myself included, we will soon see the Pope take center stage at just the right time to control it, since he is already aggressively pushing for a one-world religion and making kind of peculiar concessions.
Yeah, he just announced priests are now allowed to marry.
Yes.
That's good.
I know. Hopefully that helps curtail all the sodomy, unless, of course, at some point he allows gay marriage for priests, too.
That's very probable. Ephesians 6, I think.
Yeah. And one more important item in this peace plan, Israel will be given full security to include the Jordan Valley that surrounds, like the eastern side of the West Bank. And I can assure you, Jordan would prefer to have Israel at its border rather than the Palestinians.
And by the way, over 11 rockets from Gaza and the West Bank have been fired into Israel in the past 2 weeks.
That's right, along with dozens of explosive balloons and helium-filled condoms carrying explosives.
Let's not even go there.
Okay. Israel has been responding by striking Hamas targets in Gaza, including underground complexes used for their rocket storage and military buildings.
And your thoughts on the coronavirus?
Oh, yeah, we got to talk about that. Well, many are saying China is another test run for the big one that's coming, if this isn't the big one. Anyway, believing our real enemy is the evil network of the unseen realm in high places, which it is, but this could very well be a purposely manufactured virus, like perhaps AIDS, Ebola, SARS, Zika, and I'm sure there's more I can't think of right now. But anyone knows the evil globalists want to reduce the population.
Well, you know, that's never been a secret.
Right, and millions of people have died over the years because of this kind of thing. And it does say in Revelation 6 that the population will be reduced by one-fourth by the beasts of the field. And, you know, you look up the word beasts. It's not like big lions and stuff. The word is therion, and it can also mean microscopic bugs, viruses, or germs.
And people actually own the patent to the coronavirus.
I know. Can you believe that? The World Health Organization, but also the billionaire Bill Gates Foundation, who is a major globalist.
Of course. My first question was, why should anybody actually own a virus?
Well, they'll tell you so to make a vaccine when it's needed. And, of course, mucho money comes in when a vaccine is needed. Get the picture? Anyhow, last year, a mysterious shipment was caught smuggling the coronavirus from Canada to Wuhan, which is China's their research center headquarters, where Chinese biological agents had been conducting research on corona. You know, corona is the family name, but it has different strains associated with it. Now, this one causes pneumonia quickly. Some anonymous scientists are saying that this is a classic case of bioengineering.
As in SARS a few years ago.
Yeah, and the demonic globalists have always wanted to reduce the population, and this is just one of those ways. This probably is a manufactured virus for a planned epidemic.
And more will be coming.
They're just learning how to perfect the process. And again, Revelation 6 verse 8 says it will be reduced. And anyhow, your excellent immune system can beat it. And at this point, so far, only a few in America have it. I don't even think it's 10 yet. So basically pray and take added nutrition.
You know, especially minerals and lots of vitamin C.
For sure.
Okay, if you have any questions or comments, our email is Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net, or you can call the office and leave a detailed message too, 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Love offerings are still needed more than ever and greatly appreciated, which will automatically put you on our mailing list for future newsletters and updates. You can also subscribe and donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all our past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning pleasure. Thank you, Lou.
Okay, as we shared with you in December, I feel that the Lord has been prodding me to share some even deeper truths, as is highly suggested in Hebrews 5.
And Psalm 82 is a good springboard.
Oh, it really is. And actually, it should answer some questions that us born-again believers have wondered about.
It did for me. Sorry about that.
Oh, I know. As believers, we all know the main thread throughout his word is good versus evil, while pointing to the coming Messiah to achieve ultimate victory over the powers of darkness.
Yeah, that's just Christianity 101.
Yes, it's the milk of the word.
But we have come to really like steak.
Right. Solid food is for the mature. So, over the next few weeks, we will forego the baby bottles and we're going to pick up a fork to address a particular curiosity many have had. And then we'll let the Holy Spirit lead us from there. And actually, your feedback will help us as well.
Well, but before we continue, explain again why it does matter to delve deeper into God's truth.
Well, as far as anyone's salvation, it does not matter. But with that said, the deeper you dig, you can strike oil. In other words, more time in his word results in more Holy Spirit wisdom, which affects all parts of our lives, especially when called upon to give good godly counsel to those in need of it.
Well said. Okay, let's go.
All right. Since we know God is eternal, thereby being around forever, isn't it like common sense to assume that things were happening in the cosmos and where God's throne is even before Adam? Many are quite sure of that, and it's because of our Hebrew construction, the Masoretic text. Now, we can miss it in English, especially between Genesis 1 verse 1 and Genesis 1 verse 2.
Scholars call it the gap theory.
That's right. It's sort of like a major pause from when the earth was first created in verse 1, and then after God gave it a makeover in verse 2, and then he created man to live on it. But more on that later, because Psalm 82 is going to open our eyes to some logical understanding of how and why the gap theory fits into our solid food.
Well, before we read Psalm 82 in its context, maybe some background is needed.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, it's important to know about rebellions. First among the heavenly beings before man, then also Eve and then Adam, then came the flood, and yet again man rebelled by attempting to build the Tower of Babel to reach fallen entities or false gods instead of the true God. So in Genesis 11, we read that God divided the land into 70 nations. I then connected some dots I found in the Dead Sea Scrolls with Psalm 82 and realized that God placed other heavenly beings over those nations to be their spiritual advisors and point them to the one true God.
Yeah, they were kind of like guidance counselors and judges.
That's a good way to put it. But they too eventually rebelled and showed favoritism to the wicked people, eventually gaining their worship, which of course we know is a no-no. Anyhow, God wanted a people that would worship him alone and that he would be their only advisor, counselor, judge, and their capital G God and only supreme being, which is why we see in the very next chapter,
Genesis 12,
that he called out Abraham from one of those 70 nations named Ur. Sadly, some, and we don't know how many of those little g gods went against God's rules, but that's what we'll see when we read Psalm 82, which ultimately resulted in many battles between the little g gods, or if you prefer calling them the bad angels, and the good angels, as we read about in Daniel 10. Fighting for God's people, whose seed would produce the promised Messiah.
Well, that's a pretty good backdrop.
Thanks. So, let's read Psalm 82 in full, because sometimes certain words have double meanings according to the substance, and then we'll comment.
Should we read it from the ESV?
Oh, yeah, I think so, but only because after examining and comparing to the Hebrew Masoretic text, I have concluded that the recent ESV, or English Standard Version, is more aligned with the much older scriptural writings found in the Dead Sea Scrolls, which were obviously not discovered yet when the King James Version was completed, and then using Old English words, which was suited for that era. Now, the ESV complements the Masoretic Hebrew text, but uses more precise and up-to-date English wording.
You know, that helps the younger generations.
And that is huge, because I know for a fact that millennials just don't want to read the King James. So we have to adjust, and I look at the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls in 1947, sort of like a starting point for the last generation. And by the way, the very next year, in 1948, Israel became a nation.
Wow, like a fig tree beginning to bloom.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Sure signs to me that we are that last generation before he comes to rule and reign.
That was about 72 years ago.
Yes, and Psalms 90 says that the average age is 70 or up to 80 if one is healthy and strong.
So we are very close.
Amen. The handwriting is definitely on the wall. And remember what Daniel 12:4 says about knowledge increasing in the last days? That does not just mean technology. The Hebrew word is dayath, meaning God's knowledge concerning his word, which is probably why God preserved those precious scrolls in those very dry caves at the Dead Sea for such a time as this. It's for his bride, the last generation. And because of the writings of Enoch, also found at the Dead Sea, we can now connect many dots to be even more informed and aware of the unseen realm all around us. That God, especially in this, our time, wants us not to be ignorant about. Okay, let's go through the doorway of Psalm 82.
Okay. God has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment.
Okay, next, God rebukes the little g gods.
How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are gods, sons of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, like men, you shall die and fall like any prince.
And now the writer Asaph closes his psalm with adoration.
Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all nations.
Now that's a lot to chew on, and I'm hoping everyone does that over the next week, because we're going to continue that next time. But basically, we're talking about these are divine counselors, and they're not human beings. They are divine heavenly hosts. And in Hebrew, the word Elohim is used twice in just this first verse alone. Let me say it again, Elohim has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the Elohim, he holds judgment. In other words, God is reprimanding the lesser gods for going too easy on the wicked in the nations that the supreme Elohim gave the lesser Elohim charge over when he divided the nations at Babel. They are Yahweh's administrators or judges, similar to what we have today on earth, the Supreme Court over the district courts, and as Moses did back in Exodus 18. The word Elohim is plural because all Hebrew words ending in I-M means more than one. Abba Father is three persons in one supreme being, so it's plural. The other Elohim, who obviously had free will, are of the lesser gods that Yahweh appointed to share responsibilities so they would feel useful as he does with us. Yahweh created all the heavenly beings, therefore in the Old Testament, called the Tanakh, if you were a son of God, you resided in heaven. The word Elohim is more a description of residence. Now in the New Testament, the church is called the sons of God because we are his new reborn creation and destined to be his heavenly residence. So I pray this has stirred you up today. And again, we're going to continue this next week, go over this again, do some review. So make sure you tell a friend. But let me ask you, is Yeshua Lord over your life? You better not wait. Be smart. Let me leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next week. Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the president and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. For those who love her shall prosper in all ways. Psalm 122, verse 6. God bless you. Next week we'll be back.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.